morning, church family. Yeah, good morning. Good to see so many mothers in the house. And good to see everyone in the house, of course. All right. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. You know, it's because of you all, right? Your children are so blessed. Every ounce of your sweat, every ounce of your sacrifice, your children are so blessed. And God knows, right? We look to God today for how He's going to speak to each and every one of us. Okay? To kickstart, maybe just for everyone to know, I have 4 children, all right? This is our latest picture. Yep. My second son gotten married on 12th of April. And this is one of our everyone home picture, right? With my, okay, for some, my eldest, who might not know, my eldest is already 29 years old young man. And my youngest is an 18 years old daughter. The sequence of having 3 sons and a daughter, they are truly my joy. Of course, it comes with a fair bit of pain, all right? Okay, because today we are on motherhood, I can't but need to give credit to my husband and honor him for allowing me to have this motherhood journey. Yeah, he was my greatest teammate in parenting. He was so supportive, even when I want to quit my job to be a full-time mom, he was there for me. And he has to be the only breadwinner to feed so many of us, okay? So really want to honor my husband for that. My sermon's topic for today is grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace for motherhood. To kickstart, I want to debunk some myth of motherhood. All right, have a look. Wow. Who knows which one is me? Very obvious, right? Blind also can see which one is me, okay? Well, but the babies are the same person. Yeah, he was my eldest boy. He was spotted, you know, to be a model for a clothing company. So there go, a fake mother. Wow. In shape, full of smile, carry. Look at me, trying to smile. No need to look far, no need to compare. Just look at the arms. Her arms is literally like a sugar cane. Look at my arm. Wow. Baby booster. Well, the reality is, all moms know, once we give birth, there goes. You always on your loose clothing, okay? Next, wow, the myth of babies sleep through the night, right? So before I had any babies, I saw this advertisement, especially the diapers advertisement. Once you wear that particular brand diaper, your baby will be dry and they'll sleep through the night. Wow, so comforting. The lullaby music at the back. Oh, it's so serene to have a baby. But the reality is, all moms know again, especially during the first month to maybe the second month, every 3 hours, some 2 hours, they'll wake up to cry for milk. Yeah, and look at that. The one that crying so hard was my second son, Joash, yeah? Now, next one. Whoa, look at that little girl. Such poise to play piano. Smiling, okay, enjoying. That only happened in piano lesson advertisement. At home, time to play piano, time to practice. Right, they'll drag themselves and either they are forced, yeah, they were forced. That's actually my third son. They will feel like forced to do it. If not, their practice is 5 minutes. They are done. Yeah? So to help or to grow a child to play a certain instrument, yeah, the reality is a lot of guiding, pushing, ferrying. Yeah? So, and the child felt they were forced to. Anyway, what other myth of motherhood? The natural instinct myth, okay? A lot of people think that, oh, once you become a mother, you know what to do. Especially those who never even you know, can become a mom, especially the men. Okay? Or some of you still new to this idea of motherhood. How many of us got to learn so many things when the child arrived? Biologically care for them, right? Breastfeeding them, change diaper, bathe them, yeah? As they grow, you need to help them to navigate their emotion, be good at social interaction. It's just so many things. There's so much to learn, okay, to be a mom, yeah? How about the self-sacrificing mom, right? The idea of all mothers are naturally will put their children's needs above them, okay? But the reality is that all of us have to go through a stage of rude awakening that you have to deny yourself. Come to a certain stage, you have to even self-abandon. You never think about yourself anymore, right? I have been to church once that people commented me, "Teresa, you didn't comb your hair." Well, perhaps I didn't really comb my hair. Myself is not the priority, right? So all the husband got to play their role, okay, in minister to your wife, okay? Because your wife is always in the mode of giving. You got to be the one, minister to your wife, bring love, assurance, you know, show care. So the saying goes by, a happy wife is a happy life. That is true. That is not a myth, okay? A fulfilled mom, okay? So upon marriage, a lot of wives, the next stage is having children, right? So the thought of, wow, once you have children, you are fulfilled. You are happy all the time. Well, again, that is a myth. So many moms, after a while, they feel like they have lost themselves. They lose their identity. I even told some before that I was domesticated by my husband. Yeah? You just so not you anymore, right? Your fulfillment is lost. How about supermom? You know, if you were to see those home, be it cooking utensil advertisement or whatever, vacuum cleaner or washing machine, there comes this mother, yeah, flawless, dressed up, in dress, wear apron, makeup on, okay, busy cooking, using the rice cooker, cook up a storm, lay good food on the table, children well behaved, homework done, good results, sitting and eat, here, there, okay, not only that, house are sparkling clean, things are proper in order, and still maintain a job outside. Wow, only happen in advertisement. Okay, yeah, that is the reality of life, right? And how many of us as a mom know, we always need reinforcement. Extra pair of hands and legs are so necessary. And if you were to come across mother, you talk to them, "Hey, what do you do as a hobby, ah? I just want to sleep." Yes or no? Yeah, that is real as a mom, okay? Now, I came across this report. It's done in 2016, in Malaysia context. And I want to say, 10 years later, I would say these struggles, the struggles of mothers in Malaysia are even intensified. Okay, let's look at this. Working mothers. 80 to 90% of working mothers have high conflict between career and domestic responsibility. Always have to juggle. It's so stressful. Next, stay-at-home mom, right? 24/7 on call, limited support, no break, high pressure to be perfect caregiver, supposed to know everything, right? So this, of course, will cause them to have challenges, mental health challenges. I'm one of them. Yeah, single mothers. Financial struggle is so real because one income earner. Food security can be a struggle. Now, moms as a whole, if 42.5 parents, husband and wife, or father and mother, right, facing mental health challenges, mothers being the primary, okay? Now, also on top of that, 1 out of 5 mothers who give birth, they will have perinatal issues. What is perinatal issue? That means the day when they were conceived to the a year after they have the baby, they go through a lot of mental health challenges because of hormonal changes. Now, some lady got them pregnant, they glow, they look so beautiful, right? Yeah, but not all. Some went into the mode of anxiety, anxiousness. And after delivery, so much adjustment with the hormonal changes, some can plunge into depression. It's called postnatal depression or postnatal blue. It's real. How about mothers with children born overseas? They do have legal battles for their children to secure Malaysian citizenship and custody and children rights with Malaysia context, right? Involving religious conversion. It's a struggle for some of the mothers. Well, having said this, so many things I have said. Actually, motherhood comes with many afflictions. That's why I lead you through the thoughts on mother's role and responsibility pertaining to children. But don't forget, mothers are also wives. Yeah? Some of them need to navigate through violence and aggressive husband, or even husband unfaithfulness. Some also need to have tussle with in-law. So, as a mom, it can be full of challenges and affliction. It can be so overwhelming. It can be so stressful. Just a little on my motherhood journey. So the horizontal index, yes, is my age. Yeah, I give birth to my eldest on 28 years old, and this year I'm 57. Well, on the vertical index, I somewhat categorize the different stages as a mom can go through. Delight, you know, it can be really full of joy, you know, warm, wonderful moments, but we do go through struggles. We also can have dark moments, right? So, for my dark moment, the first one, as you can see there, was that I gave birth to my fourth daughter. Thereafter, I plunged into depression for 4 months. I just feel low. Everything was so okay, but yet I just feel low. I feel like somebody owes something to me. Or, you know, life is just not usual. Just that emotion, the mindset is just so low. Okay? I was having postnatal blues. Then, of course, the last one was I lost my husband. Yeah, that was 2 years back. The first 3 months was grief and pain. I never lost anything precious that I cannot recover. But I know this one, it's just so difficult because it will be lost forever. Every day for the first 3 months, there will be a bout of crying. Yeah. And I had to drink a lot of water because I realized crying a lot, very thirsty one. So anyway, yeah, bout of sorrow, grief. And the first 1 year is like a nightmare that I hope to work out from. So, parenting then for me is like, in fact, they are the one that supported me somewhat. They are the one that, you know, make sure I'm fine. So, yeah, just lost, okay? Yeah, that was so real. Now, come to the stage of struggle. My first struggle with children. So I give birth to my elder son in a private hospital. Quite easy one. Yeah, after delivery, then anytime baby cry, push to the nursery. Everything's still peace and quiet, correct? 3 days after, I brought my son home. Every time I lay him on the bed, he will cry. So I keep trying, he keep crying. The first night I hold him to sleep, right? Sitting up at the side of the bed. The next morning, I cried. Wow. Thereafter, Somebody introduced me, one good parenting book taught me about parent-directed feeding, you know, and how to have baby routine and all so on and so forth. I devour every parenting books that I can get a hold of. If you're sitting down here, new moms haven't really started to read any parenting book, I want to encourage you all. At least look into James Dobson. Not only he is a psychologist, but he is a children's psychologist. You know, he taught so much about dare to discipline. He's the one that populate the word on, okay? Love spells T-I-M-E. Now, that's James Dobson. So there's one stage. Further down, I was like having no mate. You know, my generation, we are very blessed. For us to hire a mate then, this is like 20 plus years ago, I still remember my agent fees is only less than 1,000. Today is, I heard just yesterday, 20K. Right? My first salary to my mate was just 350 ringgit. So we are blessed. So when my children were still small and I was breastfeeding my third one, there is a gap of 5 months I have no mate. Whoa, it was so struggle because I was so physically tired. I opened my eyes, I do whoa, until I close my eyes. Upon sleeping, I was like a deadlock. Then there is a season I have to juggle with education for my kids. With three boys, of course, they are not girls. Girls will sit down, follow teacher, copy. These boys, their mind don't know everywhere. Their mind can be running all over the place, you know. Come back, hey, what did teacher teach you? I don't know. Oh. So I was really struggling. Even though I managed to help my elders go through Chinese school, right, with his class is like 50 over students in one class. I managed to help him do well. Yeah, he was top 10. But I felt he has no life, I also have no life. And I'm thinking to myself, the next two are also boys. Whoa, I cannot. So I pray, I struggle. And I say, okay, never mind. I send him to center, okay? Thereafter, I also, in the range of 5 years, I homeschool my three younger kids. There's a one big stretch of my struggling, as you can see in the graph. Well, I enjoy homeschooling. I enjoy seeing them grow, you know, downloading to them, teaching them lessons that have biblical input. But yet I struggle because I have to be a teacher of all subjects. And I have to be disciplined. I have to prepare. Oh, I really struggle. I still remember there's one time someone from the church sent something to my house. He was a guy. Then after he went back home, he told the wife, wow, Teresa very stressed. Oh. My look, give it out. Okay? Anyway, it was so stressful. Then there was a stage where I had to navigate gadgets with my boys. Right? Then, yeah, gadget, computer game become popular. You know, I choose my battle, and that is a battle that I really hold very tight. I really fight them on that, okay, to really draw boundary and hold my boundary. But then I have one of them who aim and ambition to be gamer. He say, Mom, you know, this person earn this much, I also can. Woo, yes, okay. But you had to let them try, ma, so-called let them try. So okay, lor, holiday now, you can try, lah. Okay, so Mom, you cannot disturb me. I will practice this one stroke. Okay, lah. Okay, you practice. So he literally, you know, in front of computer, practice and then start his game, whatever. After 3 days. So I asked him, oh, how much have you earned? I remember correctly, yeah. He might deny, yeah. I remember because I said, 4 cents. Oh, 4 cents. 4 cents cannot be gamer. How to 3 days earn 4 cents cannot be gamer, you know? It's the things like that. But then the battle is real, okay? Of course. Yeah, when I lost my husband, the last patch of that struggle, because I was full of all kinds of emotion, sad, grief, of course, sometimes, you know, cheerful a bit, but always in that, I became easily breakdown. Anything that my children don't come along my way, you know, I will feel just lose it. Because before that, I was having my husband to go through, we discuss through matter, children attitude, how best, what's next. But now I'm on my own, a single mom, right? It was a struggle. Okay, having said that, of course, I dare to say it was quite a delightful journey. Every peak of it, as you can see, the little peak was because every child was born. I pushed them out. Just like that video just now shown you on the short film. I pushed every one of them out. Anyway, of course, the latest was an addition to my household, which I gotten a daughter-in-law. Yeah? Now, all of us have a story to tell, right? Motherhood, it's not like what you've seen today. Wow, people are grateful. People give you gifts. No, a lot of time you're on your own. Okay? A lot of time, you know that a lot of people don't understand you. You know, upon that, I want to bring the word of God to all of us today. Yep. This is where we're going to anchor our sermon in today. This is found in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Right? It was written by Paul. So, but he said, this he referred to Jesus. Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in time of weakness. Right? I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, let's look at the word grace. So, in Greek word, it's charis, it's literally favor and kindness, all right? But in Hebrew, right? I am a Malaysian, I'm going to try to read the Hebrew words to you, so don't crucify me because I might spell it wrong. So we in Malaysian read C-H-E chair, no, I'm just joking. That's Bahasa Malaysia, okay? Kaset, loyal love, loving kindness, or unwavering covenant faithfulness. Can, unmerited favor or charm, emphasizing the delight God takes in extending help to the undeserving. Lastly, kanan, to bend or stoop in kindness to one who is lower. That's indicating God the Almighty, right? He come and intervene in us and to lift us up. So, when the Bible say, my grace is sufficient for you, it is God coming to us and tell us, I am faithful to my covenant. I will give you what you don't deserve. I will bend down and lift you up. My grace is sufficient for you. How about the word perfect? My power is made perfect in time of weakness. Well, perfect has a connotation of brought to completion, become whole. Can accomplish, fully accomplish, or able to fully express all that needed to express and reach its intended goal. That's when God say, Him will bring about what you cannot achieve because you are weak. He will bring about that. Achieve intended goal. Paul, well, for many of us who read the Bible, we know Paul is an apostle. His life is really full of signs, wonders, and miracles. He is a super powerhouse, spiritual powerhouse. How he gotten himself converted? Jesus appeared to him in a bright light until he was blinded. Then miracle happened, blind eyes opened. Then he goes on, of course, after that, seeking God privately, thereafter started his ministry to the Gentiles. Signs, wonders follow him. Acts put it as, no ordinary miracle was done by Paul. That means the miracle that he did was a class above. his apron, his handkerchief, put on the sick will be healed. That's Paul. Okay? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this Paul stated that he know about this guy. When he was writing, he said, this guy, 14 years ago, he went up to heaven. And this guy not only went up to heaven, he went up to the third heaven. That means that actually third heaven is a presence of God, where God dwells. And he heard things that he cannot tell. So actually, later he gave it away. That person was himself. So that was Paul. Yet, he has this thorn in the flesh that tormented him. And he prayed 3 times for it to remove. So it's not like, God, remove it 1 time. God, remove it 2 times. God, remove it 3 times. It doesn't happen like that. Because Paul know how to draw close to God. I believe he cried out to God. Perhaps he fasted. He bring his pain. You know, he pleaded with God. 1 season didn't happen. The next season also didn't happen. The 3rd season, he kept it. It didn't happen. That's where 2 Corinthians 12:9 came about, where Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in time of weakness. So Paul redirected to boast in his infirmities so that the power of Christ rests upon him. Well, what is the learning from Paul? God's solution to earthly suffering is not to take away trials to make earth a paradise. His answer to suffering is to give us more of himself and his all-sufficient grace so that we have enough to endure trials. Those of us who live life long enough, or those of us who sin life long enough, will know that certain trials don't go away in 2 days. Some don't go away in 2 years. Some 10 of years, the affliction's still there. Some even have to carry the affliction to the grave. That's life. God never promised all the time it will be gone, it will be gone. No. But today we learn that God promised his grace. He will come to us. He will be that sufficiency for us. All right? I want to bring us to our Old Testament verses that most parallel with 2 Corinthians 12:9, which is found in Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. It's quite a long one, but I just shorten it here. It says here, he gives power to the faint and increases the strength of the weak. But those who wait upon the Lord, some version put it, those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. Okay. He gave us an idea that is an exchange. The exchange of strength. By wait or hope, there will be a renewal that will happen. So, in Hebrew word, kawa, meaning to bind together by twisting. Like a thread. It's going to snap anytime. The pressure on the thread is so strong, it can be break apart. But there come a string, strong, twisted together and bind together with that thread and make that thread resilience again. That is when we put that hope in God. And there will come this renewal, exchanging of course, our weakness with his strength. Kawa. How to make kawa happen? How are we to wait? How are we to hope in God? Let me introduce you this, his presence, okay? Some of you might put it devotion, quiet time, soaking, you know, practicing the presence, or the however you want to term it, it's us coming into his presence. Meet our Almighty. With all that you are, your pain, your hopelessness, your uncertainty, your struggle, come and pour forth and bring it to your loving Master. Okay? Psalms 18:6, it says here, in my distress, I call upon the Lord. To my God, I cry for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit. I remember there was one time, one season of perhaps about a month, but I was having this struggle with one of my kids who were in school, and there were so many things happened, truly out of my control. But I felt so much for him. You know, as a mom, your son having fever, you also having fever. Your son having stomachache, you also having stomachache. Your son go for exam, you also go for exam. You know, as a mom. So, but it's really out of my control. I cannot do much. And even caused me sleepless night. I remember, for the longest time, I never knelt down and pray. But that season, for a few nights, I knelt down and prayed. Because I cannot sleep, I just got myself up, I pray. I pray for him, I pray for the situation. There came a night, raining outside, you know. Then I saw this bird perching on the electrical wire, just outside my window. It was raining, and the rain is getting heavier. And the bird, not only perching, but started to move. Little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit. Holding to the electrical wire. You know, then I felt God is speaking to me. God said, I am your lifeline. Hold on to me. Just so beautiful. Till today, I can remember it vividly. This is who our God is. He, you cry out to him, he will respond. Yeah, that is who our God is. In his presence, he will comfort us. Okay? How to make kawa happen? His word. It says here, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Psalms 119, verse 28. And Jeremiah, in 15:16, Jeremiah the prophet put it, your words were found. And I add them. Well, maybe we can try bake a few pages of the Bible. Or air fryer, crumble it, put in water, and add lemon juice and drink. Okay, of course not. Right, don't practice that at home. I'm just teasing. But it's literally ingesting the Word of God into our system. Reading, understand, putting our faith on it, holding it as a promise from God. Okay? That's what Jeremiah tried to convey. And what happened? Your words became to me a joy and delight of my heart. The word of God is living and powerful. It is him speaking to us that it is possible with me because I'm a God that is alive and can bring things to pass. That's the word of God. Okay, so when my children were younger, my three boys. Every time when my late husband has to travel for ministry, you know, he was invited for become a camp speaker, you know, attend this meeting, whatever. Kid you not. Every time when he left, my children were started to fall sick. One after another after another. You know, for a good of 3 to 4 times until there's the time where he say, oh, I'm going to travel again. I say, oh my goodness, my children going to fall sick again. You know, it's that bad. I know, for now I look back, it's a harassment of the enemy. But it was then, I remember so clearly, I read somewhere in Psalm, but I cannot remember where, but Psalms are full of all those God's act and deliverance. I remember I read that, I banging on it, I pray, I trust God, I declare. It was broken. From then on, every time you travel, everything is fine. Again, The word of God is powerful. God is at work when his word go forth. How to make Kawa happen? By his spirit. Jude 26 stated, but you, beloved, building yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. So, I've been to a short portion of depression before, right? After I gave birth to my fourth daughter. When I lost my husband, I told myself, I don't want to go into depression. In fact, I remember a few days later after that, I pick up the phone and I talk to one of counselors in RNA. He said, how can I not plunge into depression? Because I heard so many who lost their loved one, they have to go through a bout of depression. So of course, the RNA counselor was very kind, you know, encouraged me there and that. But I read, the Bible said, blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. Yeah, it's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. But I also read how David put it. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Right? So I know I can mourn, but I can be lifted up from being downcast. But we are human. When that sorrow hit, when that grief hit, I can see myself spiral down. It was so difficult. The crying and the crying and the crying. You know what? God led me to Jude 20. I believe in speaking in tongue. So every time I realize I'm going too low, I launch into speaking in tongue. I don't know how else one can pray in the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. So I pray in tongues. I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray until I felt lifted. And there, truly, every time I pray in tongue, I felt I'm lifted. It's divine, it's supernatural. Because it's the Spirit of God that's at work. Right? We are beyond just mind, soul, right? Sorry, we are beyond just soul, body. We also have a spirit in us where we connected with the Holy Spirit. That's why the gift of tongue. It's called the gift of tongue. It's something that will benefit us and help us. Psalm 51, verse 12, talk about God. God wants to uphold us with his spirit. That's who God is. Okay? Now, all of us, be it we are mothers or fathers or whatever, we know that life can throw us into a chaotic mood. We can be out of control. We cannot control the situation. It's beyond us. Or we can feel so hopeless or so many uncertainties. And I like how Max Lucado put it. God answers the messiness of life. The messiness of life. With just one word. His grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in time of weakness. Let's all bow our head. Just spend this time with God. Just want to be in his presence. Just one more of him. Let's take time. Bring whatever that's in your heart before God. Be it your tantrum toddler. Be it your child that's so unique. Be it your teenager son that no longer want to connect with you. And you felt like you are losing him. Or be it your adult children, no longer found in church. Whatever, today, as we, moms, bring this before God, God wants you to know, you are not alone. You don't have to struggle through this alone. You have me, your God, and I am willing to bend down to lift you up. And my power, my strength can bring about the outcome that is beyond you. Or for so many of us here who are under the covering of my voice, whatever situation that you face, be it work, losing job, be it affliction of sickness, be it feeling hopeless, don't know what is next that is purposeful for you, God also wants to come to you. He wants to comfort you and tell you that I am for you. I will come along to hold you. You are undeserving, but I can give it because I am the one that supply all your needs according, yes, Lord, to your riches. Yes, oh God, your ultimate riches that's so abundant. God, you supply all our needs, oh God, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Lord, you are our sufficiency. Grace us, oh God, Lord, to learn to wait and hope in you. We choose to look to you, O God, Lord, to renew our strength. We thank you, O Lord God, for your unfailing love and grace upon our life. We choose you, O God, Lord. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.